All members voting. Secretary, please close the roll.
The roll shows 19 senators present this morning. Senator Sturgiluski is excused from the call of the Senate today.
Please stand for the invocation.
Dearest God and Father of all, we thank you for life, for our health. We recognize the special gift from you that we are able to enjoy life. May we always be sensitive to those who incur genuine hardship. We thank you, dear God, for the work of so many who help make our tasks more efficient. Our staffs, the Senate Secretary and her staff, the Senate pages. We ask that you give them freedom from too much frustration. And on behalf of all Alaskans, I thank you for the men and women of the Senate. Continue to give them wisdom, vision, and the excellence of service. In the name of Jesus, your Christ. Amen.
The Secretary certifies correctness of the Daily Journal.
I wish to certify us to the correctness for the 25th legislative day.
Under ready.
Mr. President, I move that the journal for the 25th day be approved as certified.
Without objection, so ordered. Are there guests for introduction this morning? Under papers.
Yes, Mr. President, I'm very proud to introduce this morning Dorothy Jones in the gallery behind me, who's from the Matanuska Valley Borough Assembly, and she is from Talkeetna. Dorothy, will you stand?
Mr. President, our Rules Committee Chairman kind of stole my thunder this morning, even if it is one of her constituents. Dorothy Jones is also a commissioner on the Advisory Commission of Management of Alaska Land, so I'd like to welcome her as well. Along with Dorothy is Art Kennedy, who's a political consultant, but is also a commissioner on the commission, and we welcome him. And with them is Nancy Albritton, who is on the staff of the commission. Would you stand, please?
Are there messages from the governor this morning?
Message of February 11. Dear Mr. President, I have read the following resolution and am transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. Senate Resolution Number 1, establishing a Senate Special Agriculture Committee. Senate Resolve Number 1, sincerely, Bill Sheffield, Governor. That is the only message from the Governor today.
The message is from the House this morning.
There are no messages from the House.
Are there communications?
Did you want this one read today?
Apologies, what?
Did you want this one read today?
Yes.
Message of February 9 from Senator Frank Ferguson, Chairman, Community and Regional Affairs Committee, subject Rural Development Council. Pursuant to your request, I have reviewed the comprehensive report on the Rural Development Council. Senator Ferguson also added, I ask that this memo be spread in the journal and the report entitled Distribution of Economic Benefits of Rural Capital Construction Funding be spread in the supplemental journal.
Senator Ferguson.
Mr. President, I'd ask unanimous consent that the letter be spread in the journal and the report be spread in the supplemental journal.
Objection so ordered. Are there further communications? Senator Ray?
If there are no further communications, Mr. President, I would move that we revert to introduction of guests.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. President and members, I'm sorry I didn't have this list earlier, but it's a group of my constituents from the fifth grade class from Harborview School, where their teacher Mrs. Miller and the parent, Mrs. Smith Watto, and the children are Heidi Ballman, Jackie Cripps, Dan Johnson, Andrea Hensley. Can you stand up, please? Heidi Ballman, Jackie Cripps, Dan Johnson, Andrea Hensley, Chad Lance, Mike Purcell, Patty Hartung, Jimmy Hildry, Heidi Watto, Kelly Morrison, Roger Bunton, Mrs. Miller, and Mrs. Smith Watto.
We welcome you this morning. Are the reports of standing committees this morning?
The Transportation Committee considered Senate Bill Number 7, making an appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for local service roads and trails, and recommends a majority do pass. Signed, Senator Moss, Chairman, concurring Senator Bakes, Fahrenkamp, and Curtula. Senator Gilman signed, no recommendation. Senate Bill 7 does have a further referral to finance. The Rules Committee considered Senate Bill Number 13 relating to the crime of arson in the first degree and recommends that it be calendared on February 11. Signed, Senator Fagus, Chairman, concurring Senators Ferguson, Kelly, and Bennett. This bill does appear on today's calendar. Those are the standing committee reports today.
Are there reports of special committees?
We have no special committee reports.
We have resolutions for introduction.
Senate Special Concurrent Resolution Number 1 by the Finance Committee, disapproving Executive Order Number 53.
Yeah, I see that. Finance.
Senate Resolution Number 2 by Senator Bennett, relating to the Cross Island Well.
Resources.
Those are the only resolutions today.
Bills for first reading and reference.
Senate Bill Number 121 by Senators Pettyjohn, Kelly, Paul Fisher, and Fakes, an act authorizing capital punishment, classifying murder in the first degree as a capital felony, and establishing sentencing procedures for capital felonies.
Judiciary and Finance.
Senate Bill Number 122 by Senator Josephson. And
Mr. President, it also has some serious health implications.
Senate Bill Number 122 by Senator Josephson, an act relating to protection of the elderly.
Health, education, social services, finance.
Senate Bill Number 123 by Senator Ferguson, an act relating to bonds for out-of-state contractors and providing for an effective date.
Commerce and Labor.
Those are the new bills today, Mr. President.
Down to the daily calendar. Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill Number 13 by Senator Ziegler, by request, an act relating to the crime of arson in the first degree. The Judiciary Committee considered this bill, and a majority of the committee recommends that it be replaced with a committee substitute with the same title, with a letter of intent, and do pass. Signed, Senator Ray, Chairman, concurring Senators Ziegler, Josephson, and Eliason. There is a committee substitute.
Mr. President.
Yeah, the floor, Senator Ziegler.
I move the adoption of the Judiciary Committee substitute. If I may continue, sir, there's very little difference.
Is there objection, or you wish to speak to the motion?
Very briefly, Mr. President. There's very little difference between the original bill and the committee substitute as proposed. Primarily, we took the word officer out of the original because that might lead to ambiguity, and we substituted the word personnel, which would encompass everybody. I ask unanimous consent.
No objection. Committee substitute is adopted. Are there amendments to the committee substitute?
Mr. President,
you have the floor, Senator.
As I understand the procedure now, we have a rather well-written letter of intent before us, which came from the Judiciary Committee, which explains the bill in great detail. And I would move and ask unanimous consent that we adopt the Judiciary Committee letter of intent as the letter of intent for the entire Senate. That would be spread in the journal appropriately.
No objection. Letter of intent has been adopted. Senator Ray?
I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Bill number 13, Judiciary, be considered and gross advanced third reading and placed in final passage.
Objections, so ordered. Secretary, read the bill.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 13, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the crime of arson in the first degree.
Bill is before you for discussion, debate. Call for the question. Senator Ziegler, do you wish the floor?
No questions about the bill, Mr. President. Question.
Question is called for. Question is, shall the Senate adopt Senate Bill 13 as amended? You may proceed to vote. All members voted. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 19 yeas, one excused.
So Senate Bill 13 is passed the Senate. Takes us to the citation.
Citations in Memoriam, Robert Krebs by Senator Moss. A citation in memoriam, Robert E. Bobby Sheldon, by Senators Bennett, Baron Camp, Ziegler, Curtula, and Ray.
Mr. President?
You have the floor, Senator.
I would move to ask unanimous consent that my name be added as a sponsor of the Bobby Sheldon.
Citation. Objection.
Mr. President?
You have the floor.
Senator? President, I request
a senator. Senator Joseph? Both citations have been read, have they, Secretary?
Yes, they have, sir.
Senator Rain?
Mr. President, there are two citations on the Monday calendar, and because of a urgency, I believe it's the retirement date is today, or within the next day or so. And in order to get it in time, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the rules be suspended. Publication notice requirement on the citation for General Major General C.F. McCrassen and Brigadier General William J. Sherrill be waived and the citations be taken up as special order business at this time.
We're moving a special order business in conjunction with the predecessor's preceding motion to adoption. I think that is in order. Secretary, read the bill.
Honoring Major General C.F. McCrassen by Senators Kelly, Fakes, Ziegler, Curtula, Ray, and Sturgiluski. Honoring Brigadier General William J. Sherrill by Senators Kelly, Fakes, Ray, and Sturgiluski.
Senator, you have the floor.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that I also be shown as a co-sponsor on the citations honoring General McCrassen and General Sherrill.
You have the floor.
I would like to. I'd like to ask unanimous consent for the same action, please.
Jackson.
Mr. President.
Senator.
I would move to ask unanimous consent for my name to be placed on both citations as well.
I would move that I be allowed to place my name on the one for William Sherrill also. I believe I have asked to be on the McCrassen.
Yes.
Other members? Senator Ray.
There are no other additions, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent for the approvals of the citations as read.
There are four citations, the Krebs, the Sheldon, the Krassen, Sherrill citations. They have been adopted by the Senate without objection. So ordered.
Mr. President.
You have the floor, Senator.
May we have a brief at ease?
We will be at ease.
I would like to move to ask unanimous consent. We revert to introduction of guests.
Thank you very much.
Mr. President. I'd like to introduce a good friend of mine, Dan Alex, president of Eklutna Village Corporation. Dan.
Mr. President, I'd like also the body to know that Dan Alex is one of our commissioners here for the meetings today.
President, a former
employee of Representative Don Young's in Washington, D.C., and a former candidate for the United States Senate in Alaska, Art Kennedy.
There will be a minority caucus in the Butrovich room immediately following the close of the session.
Mr. President, this afternoon at 3 in the Belts Room, Resources Committee will be meeting, taking up SJR 7, SJR 10. These have been reviewed by subcommittee and previously announced. On Monday at 1:30, there will be a joint Oil Gas Resources Committee meeting in the Belts Room, in the Butrovich Room. And that'll be a briefing by the Natural Resources Committee on the five-year leasing program. So all senators that are interested in me are welcome to join us. And then at 3 p.m., we'll have a briefing on the state lands disposal program. That's Monday.
May we stand at ease?
The Judiciary Committee will meet today at 1:30. There's a teleconference on Senate Bill 49, and also there'll be assignment subcommittee, committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 1, which is an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska, providing that a legislator who is convicted of a felony forfeits legislative office. Also, buses will be loading in front of the Capitol building at 11:30 a.m. Tuesday, February 15th, for the general contractors luncheon for legislators to be held at Mike's Place in Douglas. We'll make your plans for that.
To further announce,
committees, Mr. President.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent for special privilege of the floor to comment on reporting. Mr. President, as a part of this, I would like to move that the apology that I received from Joe LaRocca be included in the supplemental journal. Mr. President, I want to do that for two reasons. One, there appears to be a self-imposed blackout of this news item, which I consider to be important, and it's a blackout by the press. So I have only this method by which to put into the public record at least a part of what has occurred. The other reason is that I wanted to indicate to you and to the rest of the body that there is a responsibility in journalism, I think, to report accurately, and many times it hurts every one individual legislator down here and really affects the integrity of the individual when you have reporting. This apology is not that much in depth, it's very light, but it's a beginning, and it's something that I intend to demand out of every reporter and every person that covers the legislature, and I hope that's something that every legislator also demands in the future. Just for your information, as a result of my attack yesterday, there's an intense investigation going on by LaRocca right now into my travel records and possibly your own, and a whole day was spent on that. So I would expect that in the next couple of days you're going to see another attack, and I'm knowing just exactly what has occurred in the past with regard to his reporting. Can tell you that it's going to be filled with innuendo, half-truths, outright lies, and to be very slanted.
And I wanted to impress upon you right now that if you as individual legislators have any questions regarding my travel or expenditure of state funds, it's all public record, and I expect each one of you to come to me directly and I can explain it in detail. With that, Mr. President, I would ask unanimous consent that the apology be spread in the supplemental journal.
Mr. President, privilege of the floor to speak on the same subject. Well, Mr. President, I think that all of us that have been here for any length of time have felt the wrath or the inaccuracies of the press at various and odd times. And looking at this, and I hold no brief for anything other than the story as it came out smacked that of corruption of some type. And it seemed to me, at least when I heard it, that there was something wrong, that the senator in question had done something exceedingly wrong. He'd taken advantage of some part of the state's benefits. And reading this letter, it didn't seem to me that there was any apology. It was just said, I made a mistake, I'm sorry. Well, you can repeat it the second time, or you can do the broadcast, but what if those people that heard the first broadcast had never heard the second broadcast? And it just gives it's like a doctor's malpractice suit is spread across the front page, and when he's finally exonerated, there'll be a little print back in the back that it all fell through. But then at the same time, the allegations have been made, and people's first impressions are the most lasting impressions, whether it's you, I, or the general public. And I just think that I agree with the senator, and I would request that if they want it even stronger, I'd even plead with the press to present both sides of the story, both sides equally, no matter what the topic is, and let the public make up the determination as to who is right, who is wrong, what has happened. Just report the news. I don't try to make it. That would be what my suggestion would be. there's no other business to come before the Senate, I move that we stand adjournment till 10:55 a.m. Monday, February 14th.